This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever need to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson. You can now sign up to be a member of The Great Indoors Insiders to support the podcast, enjoy ad-free listening, get bonus content, as well as first dibs on ticketed events. Just visit thegreatindoorspodcast.com. That's thegreatindoorspodcast.com.
So today we are talking to head of home at Pinterest, Matt Siberi, about all things trends on Pinterest. Is grey finally dead? Are kitchen islands passé? And are we still bringing the outside in? Or are we now taking the inside out? I am struggling a bit to keep up with all of this. But before we get into that, a little update on our very exciting trip to Italy.
I'm very excited to announce that tickets to our trip to Italy in October are now live.
You heard us right. We are taking The Great Indoors on holiday and we want you to come with us. We've planned the ultimate five-day trip, including 2 days in Milan, the capital of Italian design, with a very special Fornasetti trip, before a trip out to the gorgeous Lake Como, and
then 2 nights in Venice, with the obligatory gondola ride and a trip to glass-blowing factory on the island of Murano. Oh, swoon!
There are just a few places left available, so don't delay if you want to join us.
Let's eat pasta, drink Camparis, and marvel at the architecture.
If you fancy coming with us on this design trip of a lifetime, we've put the link in the show notes. Now, for today's interview, Matt Siberi has been head of home at Pinterest for the last 2 years. His expertise lies in analysing consumer behaviour with a view to advising retailers on their marketing strategy. At Pinterest, Matt works directly with the major home retailers and creators to identify industry trends in order to understand consumer behaviour. Now, that sounds all very tech, but Matt is also passionate about interiors and says that comes from his grandmother, who he describes as a true trendsetter, furniture collector, as well as antique store owner, and his father, an avid collector of furniture and design objects, and an actor who appears in Severance, for anybody who's watching it, which I'm very excited about.
Okay, you couldn't keep that to yourself.
I can't keep that to myself. It's very exciting.
She's fangirling. Fangirling already.
Yeah, the script says we're going to ask Matt about his grandmother. I clearly want to talk about his father, but we'll come to that later.
I will say, first of all, Kate and Sophie, thank you so much for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to come on and speak to you guys and the community. It's very exciting.
Oh, welcome, Matt. I mean, your intro is very impressive, all those market insights and research. But really, I suppose the majority of us and our listeners, we're here for the pin boards, aren't we? I mean, we are all addicted to Pinterest, and it's such a valuable tool for all of us to help us put our looks together, to help us research the products that we want to use, get inspiration for colour schemes and styles and design. But then obviously it's got this other bit, which we're going to be mining you about today, which is all about the trends. Are you a Pinterest user, Matt? Do you use it to pin your favourite interiors?
Yes, no, I am. I am a big user. I use it for a lot of interiors inspiration. I have boards on lighting. I have a board on, it's called tiles and worktops, but actually what I've been taking pictures of is worktops and tiles in coffee shops. Don't know why it's coffee shops, but every time I go to all these different coffee shops around London, everyone has really interesting worktops, all different kinds of marble and stone, and then beautiful tiles. And so I've kind of been taking a lot of pictures of that and saving it to boards for kind of future inspiration. And I think the other side of it is I travel a lot and I love it. And when I travel, I really try and take in as much of the kind of design, architecture, art scene of all different places. Mexico was recent.
Ooh, I'd love to go to Mexico.
It is stunning. The use of colour is intoxicating, and we all need to put more colour everywhere.
Yes, we do!
Oh, just leave this podcast while you and Sophie just chitty-chatty on.
Oh, me and Matt, we're off to Mexico, okay? I mean, I'm there already.
I'm just going to slide back into my monochrome background. It's all fine. I want to ask, because I remember very clearly, and I don't know if you do, Sophie, it's one of those moments for me which I remember very clearly, my first moment on Pinterest. I don't know if you remember yours or if...
Yeah, I remember.
And it's really strange because I do not remember my first moment on Instagram. But I remember in the last house, and when we first moved in, there was no Pinterest, there was no Instagram, and Pinterest came in.
When was it? Let's date check it. When did Pinterest arrive?
So it was actually in 2010. One of the founders, or both founders, are just wonderfully, wonderfully passionate about it. They used to travel and meet all these people and understand how they're using it, and very much let users kind of shape it and kind of build this inspiration platform.
I mean, it seems extraordinary now because we've all got so used to it, to Instagram and this idea of using photographs. But as I say, I remember very clearly. So as you say, it was 2010. So we'd moved into the house and we're renovating it. I think we'd just finished the renovation. And I remember sitting on a Saturday morning at the kitchen table and thinking, well, just have a look at this Pinterest thing that people are talking about. And honestly, I did 3.5 hours later. I was like, I've lost the whole of my Saturday morning. And I will never forget it. I mean, and it did have that kind of right at the beginning, because we had Twitter. I was on Twitter, and I'm pretty sure I would have learnt about Pinterest from people talking about it on Twitter. But of course, even going back to Twitter in those early days, there weren't really pictures on it, I don't think, you know, and it was very much the 140 characters. So there would have been some very dry conversation about, there's a thing called Pinterest, have a look at this. And I remember just diving into it and going, oh my God, look at that kitchen, look at that cafe, look at that garden. I can stick it all on a board. I mean, it was so exciting, and I really remember it.
One of the most brilliant things about it, Pinterest, and this has stayed true through, I think, our whole entire journey, has been very much what we are, is that we are so different to other platforms. And it almost sounds cliche to say, but as a what we often kind of describe ourselves as, a visual search engine or discovery engine, the intention that people have on the platform is so different. You've just moved into a house, like, you have the intention to do something in your house. And so that's why you're on Pinterest. You're taking in all this inspiration and what these wonderful things that people are doing. And I would hope what you eventually do is then get into planning that. And that's really what this tool is, and why it sits so differently from kind of that kind of competitive landscape in social media.
I think it's a really key point, that, isn't it? Because certainly at the beginning, people assumed that Pinterest was like Instagram and it was about having followers. And actually, it's not, is it? I mean, there is an element of having followers allows your boards to be seen by more people. And I'd like to maybe get into that, about how people can use it for businesses. But in the first instance, as you say, it's a fabulous search engine.
Mm. Yeah, there's another really brilliant way that I like to kind of talk about Pinterest. And one is, if we look at, let's say we look at our friends at Meta, for example. When you see content on there, that's very much like, I went to a party, right? That's the we're talking in the past tense on those platforms, in Instagram and things like that. I went to a party, I went on holiday, I did those things. And then we look at things like Snapchat and Twitter, and that's very much...
I am at the party.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, right? I'm at the party. I'm in Mexico, I'm in these places. And then you get to Pinterest, and it sits very uniquely there in that I'm planning a party.
Oh.
I'm planning on going to Mexico. Mm. I'm planning on doing my kitchen, my bathroom, my garden, whatever it may be. And so when we think about social media, it's in terms of on Pinterest, it's not me in the eyes of others. It's personal media.
Like,
right?
It.
And that's the really important thing when we talk about boards, and we'll talk a bit more about how sort of businesses can use that. But as an individual, and if you're listening to this and you've got a project you're starting to think about, when you create a board on Pinterest in terms of kind of saving different images onto a board, that board could be called my dream garden, my dream living room, whatever it may be.
Or tiles and worktops. I mean, we all want one of those boards now, right?
Or tiles and worktops.
Matt and Sophie's upcoming trip to Mexico. Share,
yeah.
Share
yeah.
board.
Yeah. I'll add you to mine. But I think the opportunity in that is that you don't have to share that board with anyone. You don't have to make that public. You don't have to. It's not about everyone seeing that board and everyone seeing that you have great taste or bad taste in furniture or whatever it is. It's yours. And that's what Pinterest is. We talk about digital diets so much in our industry, right? And every single one of us gets sucked into Instagram or TikTok and we'll scroll through things looking to be entertained and stuff like that. I do it just as much as the next person. And I like that, right? Sometimes I enjoy the great comedians that you find and all these funny skits and whatever else. When that becomes too much, which I also think for so many people it does, and that's a real issue and a challenge that our industry faces and that we have to do more to kind of help with that, especially with young teens and kids growing up in this world and kind of seeing what social media shows them. Actually, most people, when they go on a social media diet, as in they strip out all of that, most people keep Pinterest on. Because again, it's you're not viewing what other people are doing necessarily. You're just taking inspiration and you're building it yourself, right? And people build boards on everything. So obviously I've talked about tiles and worktops and gardens and whatever else. I've got boards on Pedenco's, which is my dog. So if you don't know what a Pedenco is, it's like a Spanish hound. So I've just got pictures of my dog and other Spanish hounds. There's a board I found called Tom Hardy and Dogs.
Ooh. Oh, you can share that one with me.
So that's a kind of good one. And then you've got really sweet things where people have saved things like notes to my daughter.
Oh, wow.
There aren't many places where you can create all these images, these aesthetics that really speak to you in either a project or just your life.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because we've all actually gone a bit quiet as we talk about it. And that's what I think you're saying about Pinterest, is it can be a quieter place because there's not that pressure for likes. It's not performative. You know, you sort of perhaps feel that if you were writing notes to your daughter on Instagram, it would be so other people could see the notes and read the notes to your daughter as well. Whereas on Pinterest, of course, you might have it as a public board, but it's not about that. It's a different feeling. So yes, it's not social media. It's a quiet place where you can have all the inspiration and share it or not share it.
I think it's really interesting you talk about images and the power of images, because we work in a really visual space, interior design. And I've got an online design school where I try and help teach people how to put schemes together. And one of my most popular webinars is my vision board webinar, where I help people put vision boards together for all sorts of things in their lives. And I always sort of maintain that images are so much more powerful than words.
Steady.
So you could write down, this is where Kate and I might differ a little bit, but I think you can write down how you want the room to feel or function or who's using it. And this is all very useful part of the design process. We call it writing your brief and taking notes. But I think when you then start looking for images of how you want the space to look or feel, and it's not just about copying, oh, I want a Palm Springs style, oh, I want an Art Deco style. It's not that. It's images do talk to you, right? They make you feel something. And I think that's why Pinterest, from the design process point of view, is such a powerful tool, because it gives you access to, feels like, infinite amount of images. So you can really hone down what it is that, how you want your home or your interior to look and feel.
Are we still allowed to use Pinterest in, I'm going to call it, a slightly analog way? When it started, it was just, here's a picture, I like it, I'm pinning it on a board, job done. And it was sort of beautifully simple and meditative almost. And then over the years, I've seen things about ideas, pins and videos, and you've got to write captions on the top of your pictures. Has it got more complicated?
No, it hasn't, I would say, right? So first of all, and I think actually one thing, and almost to help people understand as well, like how almost Pinterest was built, it was originally built as a tool to capture images that you found on the internet and put them on the app to curate. So the images weren't already on there. It was very much kind of built that way. Now, in terms of kind of use, we've had a huge amount of innovation on it, but that doesn't change the core of what Pinterest is, which ultimately is this kind of inspiration platform. Now, for users or listeners who haven't used Pinterest, your approach has to be as simple as possible, which is just, what are you interested in? What project are you starting? That is the other thing, is that we don't want people on the app all the time, right? That actually is not the right way of using Pinterest, because ultimately what we want you to do is to realize and plan your goals and your objectives and your dreams and whatever else, and then go do them. That's really, really important to us, which is why actually on Pinterest, everyone who uses it has such high intention to do something. Now, I would suggest what you do is you think about what that project is. I'm going to do my kitchen this summer. Okay, great. Well, let's start looking at kitchen on Pinterest, right? Let's see what it is. What kind of colors do you like? Blue kitchens, green kitchens, tiles. And all you do is essentially, as you get to an image, you just click on it and you can say save to board. And then you add it to a new board called Dream Kitchen, whatever it is. And that's all you do. The other thing you can do, which I do think is fascinating and actually very quite brilliant tool, is there are so many images of beautiful room sets that we see all the time. And there might just be something in there, like a lamp, that you go, I really wish I knew what that lamp was. I want to buy that lamp. The room set's great, but I want that lamp. Now, if you go on Pinterest and you go onto that image and you zoom in, so just with your two fingers, you kind of spread them out and you zoom in on the lamp, it will automatically search that image for lamps that you can then buy. And it will come up in the bottom and you can scroll up and buy that lamp.
That's witchcraft.
It's really interesting, though, because when Pinterest started, one of the things I did when I just started the blog in 2012 was I had a sort of little mini consultancy going. So you've pinned your boards, you've seen everything, you've built your dream room, but you don't know where to buy it and Pinterest won't tell you. And I had a little business going. So you've taken that from me. But that was, yeah. It's really interesting that the tech has now caught up with that, because that was a thing to start with, was that you loved those things and you didn't know where to buy them unless the person who'd pinned it told you. So that sort of brings us into a little bit about how can businesses use it? Because there has been a whole load of sort of chat, quite angry chat, I think, around Instagram and the other social media platforms about how they've built these businesses. But now they're so big, no one can see anything, and people are not managing to reach their potential customers and clients because there's too much on there. So Pinterest perhaps is a more targeted way. So is this the new way for small businesses?
You've hit the nail on the head there, Kate, in kind of how things have changed. Pinterest, as much as it is an inspiration platform, it's becoming a shopping platform just the same way. Because exactly that, like we hear so many of these kind of early users of Pinterest and even kind of recently, you kind of go through and you find something and you go, that's amazing, I want to buy that. Because I have, I'm in that mode of doing that. I'm planning a room. I want to buy those things. But then I haven't been able to. The great thing about that for brands is that when brands advertise on other channels, mediums, whatever else, it does rely quite heavily for that person to be in the mindset to receive that business's ad, product, whatever it is. What we have on Pinterest, and it's, and I kind of term it is the active market. So there may be a large market of people in the UK who are interested in kitchens. I'm using kitchens. I don't know why. That's just kitchens.
He's doing his kitchen.
Very apt. We're doing our kitchens. So we're all
okay,
here
brilliant.
For kitchens.
Okay, brilliant. So there might be this many people kind of in the UK who are looking at kitchens. But the active market, the market that is right now going to buy a kitchen in the next 6 to 8 months, are on Pinterest. And that's because on Pinterest, they are really thinking about what they want and how it shows up, and they're planning it, as we've talked about. And so actually, they want the B&Qs, the Wix, the Howdens. They want them to show up. When you see an ad, it's part of the journey. It's another pin in there, right? It's another image to entice you and to kind of inspire you. But when brands show up very clearly, they're there to help. And this is the biggest advice that I give to any business or brand who is looking to activate on Pinterest and capture this active market is make sure you're turning up to help someone. Like, show your prices in the ad, right? Show inspiring imagery, but make sure it's obvious how to buy from you, right? If you can, and Kate, you talked about this a little bit, we have idea pins, is what we've termed them, which are full screen videos. It's an opportunity for brands to tell longer stories. That's how businesses can really kind of capitalize on, as I said, I termed this kind of active market. And that's home, fashion, beauty, whatever it is. A nice analogy I like to use for people who are on Pinterest. We all have those friends who are just always immaculately dressed. They always are wearing just the most amazing things. You go into their homes and you're like, wow, this is like something out of a catalog. This is incredible. They're doers, and doers plan. It wasn't an accident that they suddenly dressed that way or their home looks that way. Taste isn't always something that just comes to you. It comes from experience. It comes from digesting content. Those planners, those people who will really build this out, this life out, these beautiful homes, dresses, whatever it is, are on Pinterest planning that. And that's really key. So if you have those people in your life, I promise you at some point they've probably been on Pinterest and planned it.
I love that.
And I suppose that brings us into the next big thing that we want to talk to you about is, what are those people looking at, Matt? What are the planners pinning? Because you obviously also have this fantastic ability to understand what it is that the tastemakers and the planners that you rightly talk about, what it is they're looking at, which the rest of us are more than likely going to end up following along with. And Kate and I do talk a lot about trends, and we're both quite grumpy anti-trend people, aren't we? But we're quite pro-Pinterest trends, because this is power to the people right here, isn't it? What are the people pinning?
That is exactly that.
I have, because I love a stat, as you know, got some of these stats, which I think your people very kindly sent over in advance of this. And so just to continue the theme, the Pinterest UK data over the last month, small kitchens up by 220%. So, and that's why I think Pinterest is so fascinating, because it's not someone telling us that small kitchens are going to be a thing or how to decorate them in the future. It's, this is an issue people are grappling with right now, and they want to know the answers. And that's why Pinterest is so fascinating, because it's a trend in a kind of real sense of what's going on, isn't it? Rather than a sort of flammy, forecasty thing. Technical term,
yeah,
that is
very, very well pronounced. I think the key thing to understand when we talk about trends, and especially why they're so unique on Pinterest, is how people use Pinterest, which I've talked about quite a lot now, but they're planners, right? And when we look at how people search, so if we look at how people are searching for small bathroom ideas or kitchen ideas, whatever it is, you're exactly right. They are searching for very real issues and solutions to those issues. And in most cases, they're on that kind of quite early part of that journey to building that small kitchen, bathroom, whatever it is. And so what we're able to see is the searches that we can kind of begin spiking now is actually probably what we're going to see in homes over the next 6 months, which I think is really, really powerful. So when we look at predictive trends, we look at data over a significantly long period of time. And we also use third parties to check this. So this isn't just us marking our own homework. And we produce this report, which are our big predictions for the year. Now, Those predictions, we've confidently can say 8 out of 10 of those predictions come true. And you might be going, only 8 out of 10. But that's actually quite a significant stat. There's a brilliant psychologist called Philip Tetlock who did a study where he essentially asked forecasters over a 20-year period to forecast, and experts in these fields, on various things. Will this happen from a political standpoint? Will this happen in, I don't know, technology, whatever else it is? The crux of this essentially came but that expert or not, it's kind of 50-50 that you're going to get it right, which ultimately, based on you can get it right or you can get it wrong, means nothing, which means forecasting is really, really difficult to do. So if you can find any platform, be it Pinterest or somewhere else, that can, through data science and various third parties to verify this, can show you that actually you can prove that actually these trends and these forecasts are more likely to come true rather than a 50-50% chance they'll come true and they won't, is really, really powerful, and it's not something to be sniffed at.
So then we see within that then these kind of broad trends, and one of the ones which is going up is very much small spaces, and people, searches for small things are up massively. So small back gardens up 400%, small kitchens 220%, small outdoor kitchens 500%. So you get a real sense, you know, that those things are up.
Do you got any idea, Matt, why people are asking about small spaces?
And this is why I love to talk about the active market, because obviously we're all feeling the pressure of kind of the macroeconomic climate. The housing market is still doing what the housing market is doing, but at a much reduced rate, and some people maybe are choosing not to move and instead still making the most of their houses. Now, some people would tell you, well, actually, I think spend might come away from interiors and whatever else, but actually, I don't think that's true. I think what people are doing, and what at least what we see from the evidence on Pinterest, is that people are just looking for solutions to difficult problems. So rather than going, I'm going to knock down a wall and build a huge kitchen, it's, I have a small kitchen, and I like, how do I turn this into an amazing place? Because the other side of this is that we're still inside of our homes, right? We're still working from home. That's become very much a norm. And so we're still thinking about how we turn our homes into sanctuaries. A lot of us do live in small spaces. I live in a very small flat in London, and it is still going, what are the options, and what can I do with this small space to make this really, really impactful and make me feel the way that I want to feel in certain rooms?
This is not data we asked you for, so you may not know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, relating to what you were saying about, you know, people are still interested in their homes, but they've now pivoted their search to making good or small homes. Do you know off the top of your head whether searches for interiors versus cookery or holidays are still up and holding their own? Because I think we had a bit of a sense towards the end of the lockdowns, 21, 22, that everybody'd been massively interested in interiors. And then as soon as the lockdowns lifted, they were like, oh my God, I've decorated my house. I don't care. I want to go on holiday. I'm only looking at holiday inspiration. And I wonder actually whether you know if the interiors is still holding its own. Are we still interested? Is that something that's stayed with us?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely something that as with anything that came out of those periods of lockdown, that our behaviours changed and things changed. But actually, interiors still holds very, very true on Pinterest, as do a lot of categories. Again, it's that idea of this kind of active market. These are the people who are doing it. They're not people who are just thinking about it. Because I think that's one thing I think we did see through lockdown, is a lot of people started to search things that they were thinking about, dreaming of, whatever else. Did those things kind of come to fruition? Maybe not. But actually, out of lockdown, we have more capability to bring those things to life. So actually, if we've had dreams of decorating a living room or whatever, Ash, and we didn't, people are really doing it now on Pinterest. So I don't think it's something that we've seen change massively. Obviously, there has been changes with everything, but it's still very, very, very relevant on Pinterest. Something you mentioned there as well on travel. Travel is exploding on Pinterest. Really, really. Like there's a real bug for it. So as much as we're looking in our own homes, we're also looking to get out of them.
So as well as small spaces, Matt, there's another trend which we've started talking about, and I'm wondering if this is reflected on Pinterest, is this notion that we're a bit over open plan living. And I don't know whether that also is a knock on from the lockdown where we were all in our homes and, oh God, we needed some walls.
I mean, are they still pinning open plan kitchen, dining, living room? Or are you seeing a gentle shift towards people looking at different solutions?
Yeah, we are still seeing open plan living room and dining room kind of up. Like a couple of stats that here around kind of open plan kitchen dining layouts is up about 30% at the moment. Like modern open plan kitchen living rooms up 135%. So it is something that we're still looking at. Interestingly though, and Sophie, you kind of mentioned it there, there are very much two markets on Pinterest when it comes to interiors. You've got the market that the UK public are just looking to try and improve their spaces and things like that. And then there is also the luxury interiors market, which, as you guys probably know, is absolutely thriving. Luxury is still thriving. Things like crystal doors actually are really rather kind of quite a big trend at the moment. I've even looked at them and they are very expensive.
But that's it. If you go on Instagram, there's 47 hacks on how to make a window look like a crystal window when it isn't.
So the one thing actually we are seeing a little bit more of are people using dividers. I think one thing that came up quite recently was bamboo dividers that you can roll out around office spaces, because a lot of people have put computers and desk chairs and things like that in their living rooms or their bedrooms or whatever else. And actually being kind of creative and buying something that is actually quite nice and tasteful that can kind of corner off a room or a section has become quite popular. So there is dividing, I think, is coming, but I think that's also more about keeping work and home life separate. And actually, the other thing I will talk to on this is that I don't think we'll see too much of the open plan living concept leave just yet, because what we are seeing, again, because of some of the economic pressures a lot of people are kind of feeling, is that at-home hosting is really big right now. People aren't going out to eat with friends, they're bringing them in. And you need spaces to do that. Having large family gatherings really kind of came back over the last year. And that hasn't gone yet. People aren't sick of their families just yet.
Oh, lovely. I love that. So entertaining at home, and then that spills out into the garden as well. There was a big flurry of garden makeovers and garden design, I suppose, again, because we weren't allowed to move around public spaces so easily. If you were lucky enough to have a garden, they became really important too. So this idea of open plan within the home and then spilling out into some entertaining space outside too, right? You seeing that as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really in a very big way. So actually talking about work, garden offices and outdoor offices are up in a big way, around kind of 20% up for garden offices and 75% up for outdoor offices. So that is getting quite big. I also think that what we do see in many organisations where people are working from home more, and that's become very much an accepted way of life, which I think is really, really positive. I think people are looking to work outdoors. If you've got a little bit of space outside and you want to sit in the sun and you've got good internet and you've got colleagues that don't mind you being outside, that's quite big. And so actually garden furniture is big.
Well, like outside. So you're not talking about like being in a garden office.
No, like I'm talking about sitting at the garden table.
That's so inspiring. That's brilliant. I'm looking here, one of your data points here, backyard living up 3,500%.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, that I think is very seasonal. Sure.
Yeah, well, very, it is in this country, I have to say. I mean, obviously, different strokes for different folks, and we do have listeners from all around the world. But here in the UK, backyard living, that'll only be getting pinned at a certain time of year, I would suggest.
It's interesting on the colours, because there's one that keeps coming up.
Oh, let's talk about colours. I love talking about colours.
Do you?
Trends.
Go on, well, yes! The one that surprises me again and again is this sage green. Now, this is not a colour personally that I love, but I'm just looking here. Sage green kitchen, 45% up. Sage green bathroom decor, 135% up. Sage green living room, 80% up. Where? I'm not seeing sage green anywhere, and yet they're mad for it on Pinterest.
Yeah, it's funny. Sage green is consistently high.
Is it the new grey?
I maybe I'm not the authority to make that statement, but it's it's up there. And I actually wrote an article for Ideal Home actually about this quite recently, and I work with a lot of big paint advertisers. The general public, I would say, like, we are, sometimes we're quite scared to take big risks with colour. And interestingly, what we see, like, pins that do really well, or even ads or whatever else that do really well, bright colours, people love them. Burnt orange is a big Pinterest predicts trend for weddings this year.
Ooh.
So lots of burnt orange weddings coming.
Is that the flowers?
Clothes as well, yeah. Whole colour schemes. And that has also kind of permeated into the interiors world. And I think those kinds of images get lots of engagement. But when it's a paint brand, for example, so Farrah and Ball recently released some beautiful, beautiful new colours. One of those actually is kind of a burnt orangish colour.
It's called Bamboozle.
Yeah, I actually love it. But it's interesting, I think, what you see is that people really engage with something like that. But when it comes to putting paint on walls, it's kind of scary. So whites, creams, dark greens, and dark blues. They are some of the most common things that go on walls.
You didn't say the G word. So no grey.
Not that much grey, interestingly. What we are seeing, and this kind of may lead on to a conversation around minimalist and maximalist and all that sort of stuff. But so if I step back a little bit to last year's Pinterest Predicts trends, one of the biggest trends that has taken off and is still a huge, huge influence in kind of the just in the general UK public is what we termed dopamine dressing. Okay, so it's a fashion trend. This is about dressing bright, dressing bold, being confident, all those sorts of things. And what we found, a client I work with, another home advertiser, said to me, actually, that they tend to see that fashion trends take about a year before they become interiors trends. And I thought that was very interesting. So let's actually use the data and test that. Dopamine decor is one of the highest growing decor trends on Pinterest right now. So people are really kind of coming in with more colour. That kind of opportunity to express yourself in a personal way and whatever else is now in our homes. So although that's the bigger trend in terms of what's on our walls and what we're buying and things like that, grey accents are still actually very big. So things like grey cushions, maybe a grey sofa, grey throws, things like that, are up and they're big on Pinterest.
That's really interesting because I'm looking at the stats and I was just looking at the sort of overall grey stats that you sent to us, and grey walls is down by 55%. The grey aesthetic is down by 40%. But as you say, grey cushions up 55%. Styling a grey sofa up 90%. Although I wonder if that is people bought a grey sofa several years ago and they want to kind of dopamine it up a bit, so they need some styling ideas. But you're absolutely right. So the idea of the sort of grey walls, grey room falling off, but we're bringing in those grey accents and that's up. It's so interesting, isn't it? You could get really granular deep down into this. I love it.
Well, this is all music to my ears, though, and I think it's really interesting that dopamine decor is on the up. And again, Matt, a lot of musing has been going on around why this is, and thoughts around lockdown, being stuck at home, staring at the taupe, the grey, the minimalist interior, going, this isn't really sparking joy. This isn't really giving me a much needed mood boost, feeling a bit, you know, down in the dumps or whatever. And people moving to colour and embracing colour is a way of uplifting themselves emotionally. And I suppose you express that with what you wear, but it's also how a home makes you personally feel, because you're the person in that. I suppose what you wear to go out in the world is asking people to perceive you in a certain way, whereas our interior spaces are a lot more personal. And, you know, that's what I've always thought. It's like, you know, I get for certain people, grey is very calming, very soothing. I understand that for a certain type of person, that monochrome palette does the job. But it's not for everybody, is it? It's certainly not for me. So I suppose Pinterest is, again, a tool that can help people get in touch with, well, what is that? You know, is it the burnt orange or is it something else?
Yeah, I think, again, Pinterest is a great tool for understanding almost aesthetics as well. So it's kind of going, how do I express how I want to feel in a room? So a big trend from last year that has definitely carried on through this year, and I think will carry on for a while, is all about emotional escape rooms. So that's kind of how we've turned that out. And what that really is about is kind of understanding our desire to feel certain ways in different rooms, in our living room, in our kitchen, in our bathroom, or if we're lucky enough to have a room we can dedicate to a way we are feeling, then people are really doing that. And that came across in lots of things like crystal rooms.
Oh, that's quite niche.
Very niche. But there's lots of things like that. And I think that the one thing that I personally love on this idea is that I actually quite like a rainy day. And I quite like to be in a dark room for that and a bit of peace. And actually, that's when a grey or a dark blue or things like that actually really kind of comes to life in those moments. And so for me, that would be my emotional escape room, would be a dark colour and some rain.
I really like being cosy on a rainy day. And it's interesting as well, because I've sort of said this about, you know, Pinterest is big. There's no getting away from the fact it's massive. There's a lot to see. And that's where it's really key, is to understand how to use it. And as you say, you might think you love burnt orange or sage green for a room. But so you can pin a whole load of rooms like that and you can look at them. But you have to, I think, analyze how you're looking at them, and you have to divorce yourself from, this is a very beautiful sage green room, you know, but I couldn't till a million years make my own room look like this. But how do I feel when I look at this orange room? How do I feel when I look at this sage green room? And that's the next most important thing, isn't it? To pin all these colors and then analyze how they make you feel. And then you've got to match the mood that you need in the room. So if you're creating an emotional escape room and dark and cozy makes you feel safe and that you've escaped, then those are the colours. If, you know, burnt orange makes you feel energised and creative and buzzy, then don't put that in your emotional escape room. Put that in your kitchen so you're ready to face the day. So you've got to understand how to use all these great inspirational tools that you're getting from Pinterest.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things I wanted to ask about were future trends, maybe even some trends that I haven't even heard of. We've got your Pinterest predictions for the rest of this year that include fancy mushroom art up 170%, weird core bedroom up 550%, and what even is DIY mushroom decor up 77%. That's just brilliant. These little micro trends emerging.
Yeah, this is one of my favourite trends for this year. And it's not as you might, some of listeners may be sitting there kind of going, how do I get mushrooms into my house? Some of it isn't as crazy as that. One thing's very big, like on surface, and a big way that we can all get involved in this trend actually, is mushroom lamps.
They look like a little toadstool, you mean? Like a little toadstool lamp?
Yeah. They are brilliant. You can get beautiful, well-designed
Murano ones from Venice.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You can get amazing ones like that. But also, you can find really, really great versions of these in Habitat, in Argos, in IKEA. Like, that actually is a very big thing. Those lamps you will see everywhere. But mushrooms are also having just a moment, I think, culturally. Food, whatever else.
There's a lot about the psycho effects of magic mushrooms as well, isn't there? Psilocybin and things like that. There's lots of talk about how that can help anxiety, depression.
We're seeing it quite big in food as well. So in terms of not just like a nice portobello mushroom, in terms of how people are taking, I'm going to have to remember a few of these off my head, things like lion's mane and other things like that are good.
The mushroom teas and the mushroom
coffees. Yes. So it's not just interiors where it's kind of cropping up, it's also what we're eating. But the other side of this, and that's very prescriptive to mushrooms, is this kind of what's termed almost like weird core and funky house decor and stuff like that. And I think it sums it up very nicely. But I don't think it does justice to the items and the furniture that actually you would maybe class under this. So one thing, so for example, that we're seeing quite a lot of are kind of wavy mirrors, right? And so these are essentially mirrors, not like circus mirrors that make you look funny. The general kind of shape of the mirror is kind of wavy, and it might be a full body mirror, or even vases or side tables that kind of have protruding round kind of
blobby shapes.
Quite blobby. Yeah. That's exactly the word. They are stunning. And not to take you all on my holiday with me to Mexico, but in Mexico, the design scene and the furniture scene in Mexico is big and bright and very much like that. And I
big and bright and blobby. I'm here for that.
Big, bright,
I'm
blobby.
Here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is really, really impressive. And I think people who lean into this in a big way, it's a lot of fun. And I think it's unique. And I think that's going to become very, very big.
It is actually your biggest stat that I can see out of all the stats we've been sent was Blob Mirrors up 10,000%.
There you go.
That's a stat, isn't it?
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, Matt, this is all just so fascinating. We could chat for hours, but we've run out of time. Thank you so much for all your insights and advice. It's just been fantastic.
No, thank you, Kate. Thank you, Sophie. It's been an absolute pleasure to be on here. It really has.
Well, that's me, sir. I mean, I'm off to investigate a bit of a mushroom decor for my weird core, bright, bold and blubby bedroom that I'm about to decorate. That was a sentence I never thought I was going to say before we had this
Brilliant.
Interview.
So while Sophie's investigating her vintage mushroom decor, I will just remind you once more about our great Indoors Insiders Club, where you can enjoy ad-free listening, bonus content and first dibs on ticketed events. Just visit thegreatindoorspodcast.com to sign up.
Thanks too to our producer, Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective. Tune in next week when we will be discussing all things kitchen design with a special bonus episode available for our great Indoors Insiders with Jen, an expert kitchen designer who is working with me on my current kitchen transformation.
For now, we'll see you in the great Indoors.